We got somewhere to go, we got somewhere to be, and we got somebody to be with, and that's the whole reason we get to go there. I tell you, I've been excited about getting back to this lesson tonight, this message, if you will, and again, it just seems to keep getting deeper and deeper and better and better, and it just seems to keep talking to Jason. I'm just going to be honest with you. I told Brandy, I said, I pray everybody gets all they can out of it, but I'm thankful for what the Lord's given me through it. I tell you, sometimes you can identify with different personalities in the Bible, and I found myself maybe kind of being able to do that with Jonah. But if you will, let's be turning to Jonah chapter number 3. Just want to look at verse number 1 tonight. A lot can be said about all this, and a lot more can be said than what I can bring out, but I trust in what the Lord has given me, and I do want to wish y'all a happy 4th. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and thankful for being able to be with family, but that being said also, let's remember Sister Wava's family during this time, and what's going on there as well with her passing, but we know where she's at, again, and we also know who's made that possible. Thankful for that. Anybody have a word of testimony tonight before we get started? Anything on anybody's heart?
Just praise the Lord. Just looking to be in the Lord.
Amen.
So good to
Amen. Amen.
You know, a lot of people talk about freedom, but, you know, freedom, there has to be a price paid for freedom.
That's right. Right. Amen. Amen. He's the definition of freedom. Amen. Where he is, there's liberty, the Bible tells us. Amen. Part of tonight, what I have on my heart is, I guess what you'd say, scripture, and then the other part, maybe half or so, is going to be kind of life experience, because the Lord does give us that very often, I think, if we look for it, and sometimes if we're not looking for it in particular, later on, it'll become apparent to us, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for how he teaches us in his word and through his word, but also through maybe actions and experience. You'll see a lot of illustrations in the Bible that people can maybe associate with, and that's kind of where I found myself with this study here. But we'll get started tonight, and then we'll have our time of prayer. Then we'll get into, we'll have our time of prayer after the service, but we'll get started. I just want to look at verse number 1 here in chapter 3, and it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying," let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, the privilege and the ability to be here. God, all that's here, all that's listening in tonight, Lord, we're thankful for them, and just what this means to be here tonight, just having the freedom to be here, and what we celebrate here in America with Independence Day tomorrow, God, we are so thankful for that. Don't ever want to take our freedoms for granted, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us physically, spiritually, how you provide for us. God, I just thank you so much for how you work in our lives. Many times we don't see it. Lord, maybe appreciate it as we should the way that it is. But God, I know that you have a way of getting our attention. And you have to get our attention before we can begin to learn, begin to understand, or start to understand what you're doing in our lives. And God, I just want to thank you for your mercy and your grace, your mercy and your grace on my life and the life of those that are present here tonight. Lord, maybe even listening in, God, we experience things we don't understand and sometimes very, very hard. But God, I know that you want to help us and to grow us and to show us things, Lord. And I just thank you for working on me, working on those around us, God, and that encourages me, Lord, that you are not finished with people, finished with things, God, but you are willing to work on those lives that are willing to submit to you, God, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, we pray for those that are lost here tonight and listening in. We pray for them first and foremost, those that are sick and cannot be here. We pray for them, God. We pray for your healing and your encouragement. What a time that we need encouragement in this day, Lord. At every level, we need encouragement. God, I pray you go with us. Help me to say everything I should, Lord, the way you'd have it. God, I just pray and ask, Lord, that you deliver this message, Lord, to the church the way you've given it to me and shown it to me. Father, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just I'll go ahead and give you the title. Sometimes I'm really bad about not doing that. I'll blow right past that. And you probably won't get the title at the first, but I trust the Lord will make it come in as we go through the process. But the title of the message tonight is Air in the System. Air in the System. And I mean air like the air we breathe, the air. Air in the System. And you'll see where I'm going with this as we get through this. But we see here the way this first verse starts out with Jonah is how the word of the Lord came into him the second time. It was almost a do-over, if you will. You started out at the beginning and how the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he explained to Jonah and told him and pressed upon him what he was supposed to do. And we know the reasons. We see the reasons and have studied those things out before, why Jonah would not be willing to do something like this for a group of people like that that was enemies of his and his people. It would take a lot. It would take a lot to try to witness to an enemy or to try to go to an enemy. I would think sometimes that maybe we would think that we would be killed before we could even get to that point. But Jonah, the experience he's had enough is he knew that the Lord was merciful and full of grace, and he knew that he was going to forgive this group of people that he personally didn't want forgiven. I find it amazing how we ourselves, and we can look at ourselves and very, very quickly want forgiveness and feel deserving of it maybe, but then on the other hand might not be so willing to extend it to somebody else. I don't know. I'm 48 years old, but I don't know that I remember seeing such a time of being people being critical of others. And it's easy to think maybe that we can explain away our sin or our shortcomings, but at the same time be so harsh against other people. We need to realize that we all need the same grace and the same mercies. Not one person in here that the Lord couldn't do away with if he wanted to. You think about it. I can get in my mind, and I want us to know this. I'll say this now. When you talk about pride or arrogancy or anything like that, when you're talking about the work of the Lord, it doesn't have to be some huge load of pride that can hinder us from what we need to be doing, what slows us down. Any amount of pride that we have in our life that boasts in self and not boasts in Jesus, that's a problem in the system. There's something in the system that's not supposed to be there. And the Lord has his way of suffocating that out and getting that out of our lives. And I believe that's what you see here with Jonah. You can see maybe that it seemed extreme, but God knew what he needed to do to get the point across. And he had Jonah the whole time. You see, he holds life and death and hell even itself in his hand. He holds that in his hand, and he has the power to take care of things. But you see how he came to Jonah a second time. He didn't do away with Jonah. You know, you could say that maybe, well, if this one isn't going to work, Brother Bill, I'll just get another one. And don't you think God can do that? I mean, he holds the whole world in his hand, but we don't want to go past the prize of what he's doing here, the blessing of what he's doing here. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, very, very common. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I'm thankful for that. I tell you, I've said it before, and maybe you would feel this way about yourself, that you probably wouldn't be as patient with you as the Lord has been. I've seen people that are very, very hard on themselves when they feel like they're failing at something, and sometimes to the point of just giving up altogether. So I knew I couldn't do this. I'm not going to be successful with it, and I'm just going to give up. But you see, when you read verses like this, you kind of see a deeper meaning of how the Lord is working with mankind, with people. We are a very unique thing the way we are. He gives us a choice, but also he doesn't necessarily dictate what we do. He gives us the ability to accept or deny. That's amazing. You know, when you look at how other parts of creation are created and the waves and how they're created, the ocean is created, it'll only go so far, and the Lord says, stop. You know, you do read in the book of Romans how a person can go so far as to become a reprobate, which means they go past what the Lord wants them to do. Anytime somebody goes to hell, I want you to know it's not of the Lord's will that that happened. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But people go to hell every day. That's because they have a choice. You see how the Lord really places that on the man or on mankind and on the heart. But one of the things we see here in Lamentations, there's three things out of these verses I quickly want to bring out is, one, the first things is His mercies. His mercies, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Of course, consumed means to be burned up, passed away, what have you, or disposed of. But mercies, that is to treat an offender better than what he deserves. I don't know, a lot of times if somebody mistreats one of us or one of my family members, myself, I feel very guarded and protected against them and pretty much build a wall up against them and just say, mark this one that causes divisions. But when you're talking about the Lord and how He is, He's merciful to us. Every single one of us are an offender. We fall short of His glory. We fall short of what the law tells us that we're supposed to do and teaches us to do. But His mercies goes past that. And I find that amazing. He knows our frame. He knows how we're made. And He still takes interest in that. And He still has mercies on us anyway. He knows up front we're going to fail and we're not going to be perfect. But He's merciful. You think about how many times in your life, maybe I can't in mind, I know I can't count them all, but how good He's been to me and not me being deserving of any of it. I think we get to a place sometimes in our life that we kind of take that for granted, and maybe we think that I've done pretty good today or this week, and if the Lord wanted to bless me, I'm pretty well in a good position for Him to do that because I've been good today, and I'd be all right if He just blessed me and be good to me, and because I'm kind of deserving of it. We're none deserving of His goodness. You look at people around, and I've thought about this, and I'll have things that will beset me, and maybe I'll be upset about, and I'll look at my neighbor, and I think, my goodness, I'm just a big old baby. I don't have anything going on in my life like what they've got going on. Why do I feel like I deserve this or maybe entitled to this? And that's when you start getting a little bit of air in the system. It doesn't take much. Doesn't take much. Pride is a very sneaky thing. And if you're not careful, it'll sneak in on your life. And then spiritually, it's going to hinder us. It's going to hold us back from having the power that God would have us to have. But He sees here the mercies. We see here in Lamentation it talks about His mercies, but also it says here too that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Compassion is a beautiful word. That means suffering with another. When the Lord came down from heaven and He experienced things firsthand in the flesh, that gives Him the right, that gives Him the ability to say, I can empathize with you and what you're going through. He faced the devil head on and was tempted by Him. All points tempted, as are we. Isn't that something? You're not talking about somebody that's talking about something hypothetically. He's one that experienced this firsthand, so He can look across the aisle at you or me and say, I know what you're going through. I know what you're feeling. I know what I expect, but I know what you are feeling. He has the ability to understand another's state or condition. You know how important that is when we deal with people? Sometimes if we're not careful, we're thinking about what we're going to say and we're not listening to what a person is saying, and we'll throw back maybe some kind of idea of what they need to do or this, or maybe not even intentionally make it out like a light thing that they're going through when it's the biggest thing probably maybe that they have experienced and what they're going through. But see, the Lord, He knows how to suffer with us. He knows how to encourage us. Have you ever been feeling down and out and Him come along beside of you out of nowhere? Just like the wind. We don't know where it listeth. You know how the Spirit works sometimes. You're down and out and all of a sudden He'll just blow right by you, Sister Chelsea, and give you a ray of hope. You know how important hope is? A lot of people in this world today, one, they don't understand or see the hope that they have, and they don't know how to reach out for it. A lot of people don't know what it's like to be able to cry out to a God that will listen to them and help them. They don't know that. They don't understand that. Doesn't understand how to be able to do that and take advantage of that. But His compassions, they fail not. That means they're always there. If you're willing, He's willing. That's what it's saying. You'll not go to the Lord in repentance, in true sorrow, in repentance, that He will not listen to you. Did you know that? You might go to Him in a half-hearted manner, maybe in not a repentant manner. He won't listen to that. The Bible teaches us that. If we have iniquity in our heart, He won't hear us. The Bible is very clear on that. But his compassions fail not, and they are new every morning. And it says here that great is thy faithfulness. There's something I've found out, I've learned about myself, and I didn't notice it maybe so much when I was younger, but in my older days, if you want to call it that, or my later years or what have you, I notice as I'm going to sleep at night, I feel more down than I do in the mornings usually. And I've talked to Brandy about this. There's times it's just, I don't know, it just seems like things bother me more at night. I'm just being Jason tonight. I'm just being honest. Things seem to bother me more. Sometimes I guess maybe the weight of what has taken place during the day, sometimes you're trying to balance things and be what you can for people and take care of work and do things. And sometimes when you're balancing that out and you critique yourself, sometimes it's easy to be hard on yourself. So I just failed everybody today. And you just go to bed defeated. And I tell you, the devil, he likes you to go to bed defeated. He likes that. Boy, he loves that. But you see, you know what the Lord likes, and what he loves is how his compassions are new every morning. You wake up sometimes the next morning, it seems like the sun's just a little bit brighter. There's times, Brother Allen, I've went to bed feeling like I was just down and out, and wake up the next morning, I thought, why was I so down? That's not that bad. It's not as bad as I thought. I don't feel that bad this morning. Why? Because his compassions are new every morning. And that's something, that's a true testament to who he is. All I did is lay in bed and sleep all night. I wake up and I feel a little bit more uplifted. Why? It's because his compassions are new every morning. And it says, great is thy faithfulness. You know what faithfulness is? I'm going to give you a short one-word definition. You know what faithfulness is? Loyalty. He's loyal to his own. He'll take care of his own. He's going to stay there. I tell you, when I look at friends and think about friendship, I think about those who are loyal to me. That means something to me. Somebody I can trust. And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's one that you can always trust. And it comes down here. I want to read this in Matthew 18 a little bit. We're talking again about second chances, third chances. How many chances has the Lord given you? Brother Tim, it made me think about these verses in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, thinking about forgiving. Forgiveness. How many times are you supposed to give your brother? Again, this is common scripture, but something I think worthy of noting here, because it says here, Matthew 18, 21, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Surely there has to be a limit. You know, I tell you, false forgiveness is one thing, or asking for forgiveness falsely is one thing. The Lord knows that. If you have an intent to do something in your life that you know you're not supposed to, and you're asking God forgiveness before you do it, then you need to rethink that. I would need to rethink that. That's not true repentance if you're going to go ahead and do it anyway. But Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Over and over and over, your brother comes to you and asks you for forgiveness. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to say, I forgive you. Sometimes that's easy and sometimes that's hard. But you know, the thing about it is, and I believe why, and you'll see where we're going with this here in a minute, but why the Lord has given so many opportunities or leans this time to be so many times is because he knows how we are. He knows we're going to mess up over and over again. He knows that. He knows that we don't only just fail him, but we're going to fail each other. And he knows that we, as each other, as human beings, we need to be forbearing with one another. That's why his word teaches that so much. You know, we're not supposed to just let people run over us. I'm not saying that. I told Brandy, I said, you know, I said, I feel like I'm on a tightrope sometimes, trying to balance things where I'm being humble, but not letting people run over me at the same time. Does that make sense? Sometimes people think Christians are just supposed to be lightweights that just roll over and just take whatever comes and just supposed to take it with a loving heart. They'll throw that word in there and make it like that. But let me tell you, when you look at the God of the Old Testament, you see how people, the enemy, people treated God's people. Did he just roll over and let it happen? He wiped them out many times. God doesn't intend for us to be that way, but he has a way for us to live our lives submitted to him in forgiveness. He knows what true forgiveness is, and it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. You have a king, he's looking over his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Before as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and the payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. You see, I think there's some true repentance here, true sorrow. Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I'll pay you back. If it will just give me a little time, I'll pay you back. Then the Lord of that servant was moved, here's that word again, with compassion. Maybe there was something that happened in his life earlier on, maybe in his kingship, that he could look back and say, you know, I know what it's like to fall on hard times. I know what that's like. Maybe I should help this person. It causes me to look at hardships or what I perceive as hardships in my life in a different manner. I believe that is the Lord preparing me to help somebody somewhere down the road. He's given me the option. If you can't empathize with somebody, it's going to be very hard for you to have compassion on them, is what the Bible teaches. What we're seeing here, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But look what happened here. This is very interesting. He finds himself, the servant, in a middle place here. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence. Now you may remember what he was in debt for, but 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. You see how quick that forgiveness was one-sided. He was so quick to beg for forgiveness for himself, but he was unwilling to do that even for a lesser amount of money that was owed to him. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same scenario. And he would not. Went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And it goes on to say what it says here. But you see how awful that looks. If we're not careful, we're going to be that same type of person. We'll find ourselves in that same type of way. And that's amazing to me. It doesn't take much. I think just a little bit sometimes to find ourselves in that way. So I want to share something with you tonight by way of testimony here, and just kind of interesting how the Lord lays things on your heart. And I just pray he gives it to you the way he gave it to me. Many of you here know I like to work with drones and do things like that and all that and all that kind of good stuff. And so what we did at work, and many of you know, Brother Norman, I know you know, we were able to go and buy a drone that we could wash windows with. We're very excited about that, very proud of that. The team's proud of it, excited about it, very happy about it. And we had... it's brand new. We used it one day during our training day, and then this was our first day out, Brother Tim. It was the next day or a week or so later. Wasn't that first day that you were there, but it was just the first time just the team was using it. So we were happy with it, and we got it out, and we're washing windows. Everything is working just like you want it to work. But man, this is great. This is how it's supposed to be. And we worked all through the first part of the morning, and we got down to after lunch, and we had to move around the backside of the building. We had to unhook everything and then start around the back, and we got around back there, and guess what? It just would not work at all. It was frustrating. We didn't know what to do. I mean, it's not really a complex system. It's, you know how a pressure washer is kind of set up? Well, you just add a drone to it, and that's kind of what you got here. It's a self-operating system, but then also you can attach it to a drone, which will lift up your hose and wash your windows and do all that. So here we're doing everything, and of course, we spend a lot of money on it, and you want it to work, and you feel a lot of responsibility, accountability, liability, all the ability things that you have to look after. Well, it wouldn't work after that next day. There's a lot of hype about it. I mean, people were coming to see it. You want your supervisors to be happy with it, and everybody's asking how it's worked. Of course, you have your skeptics. It's like, this ain't going to work. And all that stuff kind of swirling through your head, and all of a sudden, it's like, we tried to hook it up, and it was just spit out water. It just like, bubble out just a little bit. It just kind of gurgled just a little bit, nothing. I said, guys, I don't know what's going on. We tried our best. We checked everything we could on the wall and that we had it attached. The building that we attached it to had everything that was messed up. So we call tech support, I guess you will say, we need some help. We showed them through video because they're not here. They're in Indiana. And so we're showing them, talking to them what's going on. And it turns out that we had a minute leak. a very minute leak on the front of it where you could see where one of the knobs you turn it, some water was coming out. And they said, well, that's your problem right there. And I was like, well, it was kind of doing that the other day and it worked just fine. What's the deal? That's your problem there. You got air in your system. You got air in your system. That's your problem. And so we did all this troubleshooting and nothing worked. I said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to take it in and have it looked at. And I thought, my goodness, I can't drive to Indiana. That's a long trip. But they have people that they contract with. We're able to go down to a place in Concord. And I want to mention something to you right here. Got to meet a wonderful fellow. His name's Reggie Moore. And got to talk to him. And it's funny, you know, sometimes you're having that self-reflection kind of day as in the truck driving by myself and had time to pray and think about things. You get stuff on your mind sometimes and how you're going to work through things and how you're going to deal with things professionally, spiritually, how you're going to deal with it. Got down there and we're just kind of talking, you know, and he's talking about his son, one of his son, and maybe some other family members that played football. He played football. And he said, you know, I worked at App, of course. And he said, yeah. He said, I don't think my son's going to get a scholarship offer. We started talking about things like that. He said, I told him, just offer him something. Just, you know, let him see. I think his son wanted to go to Stanford. He's got it in his mind. That's what he wants to do. But it's still yet an offer is an offer. So we're talking. And he said, you know, he said, just think the Lord's will. And I thought, okay. We got some common ground. You know, we started talking about different things and all this kind of stuff and talked to him about my career in law enforcement, how that switched around the Lord. And I told him the Lord called me to preach. He just laughed. He said, that's how the Lord do. That's what he said. That's how he does. You don't know what he's going to do, but that's just how he is. That's how he does things. We started talking. He's talking about his son and how things are going on there. And he went a little bit deeper. He started talking about his little granddaughter. And I cannot remember how old she is. Little granddaughter. So I've got another son who's got a granddaughter, and he said, we just found out she's got leukemia and getting ready to go through chemotherapy. And he said, would you help me pray about that? I said, you better believe I'll help you pray about it. I checked on him this morning, actually texted him this morning because this was on my heart. And I said, how's things going? He said, well, she's losing her hair now, but she's doing good. Keep praying. The Lord's got this. You just talk about just the spiritual man. It's amazing how God puts people in your life just at the right time. Just at the right time. So me and Reggie got to talk a little bit, and we're working on things. But one of the things here, had to get the system to somebody that knew what they were doing. I have to admit, I didn't know what to do. And he looked at it, and he did some things. And so what we were looking at doing, so he's like, there's air in the system. We got to flush this out. And that's why it kind of made me think about Jonah. You put him where he was at, he had a little air in his system that had to be flushed out. You look where he put him, look where the Lord put him. The Lord put him right in the center of the ocean. You talk about something that takes away the air. Water takes away the air. You can't live underwater. If you want to suffocate something out, put it underwater. You know, that's why you represent, the baptism is represented in the death, burial, and the resurrection. You're not living underwater. You and I can't live underwater. There's no air. And I thought it was kind of neat when he started looking at this. He said, I've got to do a reverse flush on this system. I was like, okay. You know, do what you need to do. You know what to do. That's fine. So he took a water hose and it was filtered. It was filtered. But he popped the filter off and he turned his water hose on. He put it up next to that and he started doing a reverse flush. So what he was doing is actually flushing water through the entire system. He's cleaning the system out. And I thought, well, you know, when they came up and did testing, they said, you guys have really good water here. The pH balance is good. Everything looks good. You shouldn't have to worry about your filters. Shouldn't have to worry about sludge, all this and all that. And I was like, okay, that's good. Well, he started doing that. And I just held the hose. He said, hold the hose open. I held the trigger. And so you can see the water just barely just spitting out. And I was like, how long is this going to take? It took a while. It wasn't a quick fix. And he just kind of kept spitting out. And you can hear it gurgle. And you think, is it going to do it? And he'd look at me and I'd look at him. And then we just kind of stand back there. I just stood out there and held it, and it was hot. It's hot down in Concord. It's humid, and it got sunburned. It's that day I got sunburned, I believe. But we're doing that, and all of a sudden you hear, boop, boop, and here come the water. And it started running like it was supposed to run again. But what was weird about it was the amount of sludge and the dirt that flew out of the front end of that thing. It was like, well, there wasn't supposed to be any of that in there. But there was only just a small amount of air that was causing this entire system to fail. It wouldn't work just because of that little bit of water. I'd flushed it out. I'd ran it through. What I did didn't work, but it took that water just to push the rest of that air out, and it was working just fine. I felt kind of foolish thinking, my goodness, I could have done this at home.
He told me, he said, he gave me his card. He said, now you call me. I said, he said, a lot of these things you can do yourself now that we know what's going on. But that little minute leak that was up there where that water was kind of bubbling out, you know what he did? He put some tape around it, some thread lock around it. He sealed that off so air couldn't get back in there anymore. That part's fixed. The system's working right. And you say, well, preacher, I don't even understand why you're talking about this, because a lot of us run around today with air in our system. Jonah had air in his system. He didn't realize it. He's been categorized as a patriot, one who loved his country, all these things. But when the Lord tells you to do something, any amount of air in your system is going to be a problem. I think sometimes we think pride is this big thing that stands out in front of people that keeps people from doing everything, and people are just boasting in it. I tell you, just a little bit of pride that where you say, I'm not going to forgive somebody, that's enough air in your system to shut the whole thing down. It won't work. You'll lose your pressure. You'll lose your power. If you got to lay yourself down and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You know how hard that is? On everything. You can pick and choose what you want the Lord to handle or what you want to be submitted to. But if you're not submitted to him totally, then you've got air in your system somewhere and you're not running as efficiently as you're supposed to run. And you say, well, my goodness, preacher, you said you spent all that money on that system. Why don't you just go get a new one? It's brand new. Is it not under warranty? Well, they covered that. Why don't you just go get a brand new one? You know what? The thing about it is, that was a brand new system. And even if I had gotten a brand new system, that brand new system would be susceptible to the same problems as this old one. You talking about a waste of time? To go get another one, switch it out, do all that work and try to do that? And then what would happen if you had the same problem? Still have to get the air out of it. Isn't that something? You're right back, Brother Allen, where you started. You say, preacher, this makes absolutely no sense about Jonah. It makes no sense whatsoever. I want you to think about this. What the Lord was doing with this situation with Jonah is he was purging the air out of his system. He was taking the wind out of his sail, and he was replacing it with his will. He had to get Jonah to the place that he realized, I can't do anything without God. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord reset him. You and I, many times, need to be reset. That's why his mercies are new every morning. You see, here's the thing. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to leave out with this. Here's the thing. You think, why don't you just get a new system? Why don't the Lord just get a new system? Did you know that those new systems are susceptible to the same problems? When I look around the room, you're susceptible to the same problems as I am. You know, the Lord is dealing with the same system. If he got rid of Jason, guess what? He's getting another system just like it right in its place. Isn't that amazing? Think about that, Brother Raymond. Is that not amazing? You look at things, it's not like there's a better version of anybody in here. It's just how willing you are to get the air out of your system. That's what it means. We're not successful in and of ourselves. We're not. We're the same. That's why Nineveh needed just as much grace and mercy as Jonah did. But he didn't see that at first till the Lord purged his system. He wasn't running as efficiently as he could have. You're talking about a prophet. Jonah was called to do this. He was supposed to be the one that went and cried against the city, where you're not going to cry much if you got air in the system. I'm just being honest with you. Any kind of pride that you place above the Lord, that's going to be a problem with the system. But what amazes me and how the Lord, I'm closing, what the Lord wants is just to have a relationship with you. He is working with the same old system over and over and over again. From Adam until today, he's working with the same system. You know what? He's never got rid of it. He says, I'm going to make this one work. I want this one to work. I want this one to take in my statutes, take in what I'm teaching them, and take him and take it to heart. Purge the system and just do what I ask him to do. The only problem that we run into is we have the air bubbles of our choice, the air bubbles of our pride. We have air in the system. Until you get that air out, you're not going to be for the Lord what you want to be. None of us will be. We're not going to be what he wants us to be. You see here again, the first verse there, and it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. He said, now we've purged you. We've got the system running, should be running like it's supposed to. Now, you go cry against this city. We'll start in that next time. But I appreciate your good attention tonight, and I just pray and ask that you just take that to heart. If we really want to be who the Lord has called us to be, doing what he wants us to be doing, we have to do it his way. There's no way around it. If it has to go, it has to go to be able to serve him the way he wants us to serve him. But I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to, again, just wanted to say, let's remember Sister Wava's family in our prayers. I've been in contact with them, and looking forward to being with them. I hadn't seen Edward and some of those folks in quite some time, and we used to work together and what have you, so let's be in prayer for them. But I'll ask, are there any other objects of prayer tonight?